Lots that's there, and much that we can glean. Psalm 36, a couple of verses there. Psalm 36, 8 and 9. Psalm 36, verse 8. Let's read it aloud together. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Praise God. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Amen. And that's the way it is. Thank the Lord. I was reading a book where the author, a minister, said that he has been accused of making the gospel better than it is. How can you do that? Praise God. This sounds pretty good to me. Amen. Abundantly satisfied. The fatness of his house, the rivers of his pleasure, the fountain of life. And we'll end up with the focus on we see light. Say that part with me. We see light. Amen. You may be seated. The Israelites coming out of Egypt and being in the desert area, the wilderness, were abundantly satisfied numerous times. Water and food both. I think about the quail that came in the evening and the manna in the morning. And it was abundant for all. They would gather enough for their household, and God promised the quail, and it covered the camp. They had abundance. Well, there was another time that quail came, and it didn't have quite the outcome that they hoped for. And this time, there was a murmuring among the mixed multitude and a weeping among the Israelites. We remember the fish in Egypt. We remember the vegetables, and oh, they had a long list that went out. And God said, okay, I'm going to give you flesh to eat. And you're not going to eat it one day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or even 20 days. You're going to eat it for 30 days until it is loathsome to you. So you got to be careful what you pray for. Because the Word of God says he sent their request but brought leanness to their soul. So prayers are powerful. They really are. Amen. That's why we designate time on Tuesday to pray. And we start services with prayer. We have pre-service prayer because we know how powerful prayers are. Amen. But the Lord brought this about. And he said, you're going to gag and become sick. You've asked for flesh. You've cried out and so on. Moses wondered, if we caught all the fish in the sea and we slaughtered all the flocks, how can there be enough for this multitude? But God, again, caused the wind to blow and the quail to come 3 feet deep around the camp. The people gathered, cooked, chewed, and the wrath of God smote them with a plague. Amen. Some things, you know, you really have to qualify, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Water in abundance, the waters of Marah that were bitter made sweet. And then they journeyed on, and there's 12 wells at a place called Elim. Water from the rock again, enough to water their flocks and all of the people of Israel. In the time that the elders sang, spring up, O well. Amen. And the Lord caused it to spring up. Amen. All that abundance, amazing. The fatness of his house, that's an interesting way to phrase it. But the idea is you will be satisfied in the house of the Lord. His presence and his power will be amazing and be incredible. You'll hear his word, you'll see his works, and the power of the Lord will be there. It's no wonder that David declared, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He determined that that would be his direction. Psalm 63 and verse 5, David would say, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now you look at other translations, other versions of the Bible, and you look at how marrow and fatness is translated. Another one says it's the richest of foods. Another says it's a banquet. The Message Bible says it's prime rib and gravy. The easy to read version, I've never heard of that one before. Easy to read version says, when I sit down to satisfy my hunger, my joyful lips hunger to praise you. I like that. Amen. When he's satisfying my hunger, I'm hungry to praise him. Amen. I desire to lift him up. I desire to give praise and worship to him. The rivers of his pleasures. Praise God. In Ezekiel 47, the prophet saw a vision. Now, Israel being in a semi-arid climate, water is very important. Water very, very necessary. And the flocks needed it, the crops needed it, and the inhabitants needed it. And they treasured wells and protected them and so on. And so for this vision of Ezekiel to have the waters issuing out from the house and getting deeper and deeper as he walked out the 1,000 furlongs in each increment, each phase. And finally, it was a river that couldn't be passed over, and there was waters to swim in. Praise God. It might seem like that, no, that's interesting. That sounds like abundance. That sounds like it would be an awesome thing. But Ezekiel goes on to say that life came from those waters. Wherever the river came, wherever the waters came, there was life. Life sprung up. He said there would be trees with leaves unfading, and the trees bearing new fruit. The leaves would be for medicine and the fruit for food, because all of the life that would spring up in what the Lord was promising. Thank God that we know that life in the Holy Ghost today, that power in the Spirit of God today. Jesus promised that water in John 4 and 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him, he emphasizes it, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Thank God we know the source of that power. We know the blessing of that power. We know what the Lord was talking about and the experience that we could have. The lady was confused. How can you get water? You don't have anything to draw it with. But the Lord was trying to show her there's a spiritual well. There's a well that's not going to run dry. There's a well that's going to have everlasting life as a result. Praise God. I'm thankful that Jesus cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. Oh, our society today thirsts for many things. There's many beverages. There's many activities. There's many things. There's many substances that our society thinks they've got to have a hold of, as well as material things. There's drugs. There's tobacco. There's all of that stuff that they think they've got to have. They've got to desire it. They've got to obtain it. But the Lord said, if you thirst, come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for that Jesus was not yet glorified. But oh, thank God, there came that day. There came that moment. There came that time. And there were those who had their thirst satisfied, because rivers of living water would flow forth out of us. Thank God for the power that he makes available. And that blessing is still coming forth. As I mentioned to you at the beginning of service, 8,000 being filled with the Holy Ghost in the Philippines in one service. My God is still fulfilling his promise. He's still doing his word. He's still bringing it forth. Praise God. Now, Paul wrote about drinking from the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by one Spirit Are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, doesn't make any difference. What your background is doesn't make any difference. What you had been before you came to the Lord makes the change. The Lord makes the difference. The Lord forgives sin. The Lord cleanses us. Hallelujah. And we're made to drink of one spirit. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We need that renewing of the spirit like we need to drink water. Amen. Thank God for the water that we're able to drink and know the refreshing of it. And likewise, the Spirit of God, the blessing that the Lord gives. No wonder Isaiah 12 and 3 says, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Drawing water out of the well, it was not easy. It was a task. It was a chore. It was something they had to do. But the prophet says, with joy, you're going to have that opportunity to draw water out of those wells because it's salvation. It's the power of God. He's the fountain of life. Praise God. He's the spirit that produces spiritual life like water produces natural life. We're not talking something mystical like those Spaniards sailing around looking for a fountain. What'd they call it? The fountain of youth? You're growing old looking around, sailing around. Praise God for the fountain of life. The fountain of life. Praise God. Now, Jeremiah lists or mentions the fountain of life twice. Two times he mentions the fountain of life. 2:13, he said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Now, that's bad enough. Forsaking the Lord, the one who is the fountain. The one who has living waters. But then, here's what they did. They made cisterns. They hewed out cisterns. Remember the roof catchment in Ketchikan? The poor folks out there, if they had wood stoves, their water tasted like wood, creosote. They had cisterns where their downspouts from their roofs poured into that cistern. Imagine going through all of that work, all of that effort, and the cistern just drains out, doesn't hold water. That's what Jeremiah said, that the Lord indicted his people. They've forsaken me, and they hewed out cistern, went through all of that work, all of that effort. Whether they hewed it out of stone, or they dug in the ground, or they made tanks or barrels or whatever they did. It was a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of energy and time that they went into that, and then it was for nothing. What a description of our society. What a picture of what people are doing. They're forsaking the Lord. Oh, no, forget it. I don't want anything to do with the Bible, with the Word, with church. No, I'm going to go find satisfaction somewhere else. But the sad truth is there isn't satisfaction there. Lot of work for nothing. Actually, for nothing that's positive, everything that's negative. All kinds of negative things happen. But oh, thank God we can hold on to what the Lord would mean to us in the fountain of living waters. Chapter 17, verse 13, 15 chapters later, same thing happens. They lose hope. They gain shame when they forsake the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And that's not the end of the description of waters. Jeremiah 18 and 14, he also mentions the forsaking of cold flowing waters. Cold flowing waters that is there for the taking. But those who have forgotten God forsake it and go another direction. God help us not to be stupid. God help us not to be ignorant. God help us not to make that mistake, but to step into the realm that God has for us. Not to try to find satisfaction somewhere else. Not to go through all the effort and labor of trying to get a substitute. but to move into the realm where God has provided for us, because he will satisfy abundantly. David didn't suffer want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He talked about green pastures and still waters. He talked about the restoration for his soul. He would walk in paths of righteousness. He would walk in the valley of the shadow of death, and he'd fear no evil because he knew the Lord was with him. His rod and his staff were there. A table was prepared before him. His head was anointed with oil. His cup would run over. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord would bring goodness and mercy all the days of my life. And again, he says that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He knew where he could find satisfaction. He knew where he could obtain the blessing of the Lord. Psalm 65:4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy temple. Amen. The holy temple had not yet been built. David knew his son Solomon would be the one to build it, but he is looking forward to what would happen with the holy temple, and probably referring to the tabernacle, but he could look ahead to the temple as well and recognize their satisfaction in the goodness of his house. Hallelujah. And I'm going to dwell in his courts. Determination. And he's not going to leave the house of God. That he's going to remain where the blessings come from and know the power and the blessing that the Lord would provide, because he would pour it out. Titus 3:6. Interesting, the chapter and verse arrangement. It's helpful to be able to look up passages and so on, but sometimes it seems like the chapter and verse disconnects things a little bit. This is a case in that. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. What did he shed on us abundantly? Healing? Riches? Blessing? You back up to verse 5. And what he poured out, and that shed is often translated poured out. He poured out so abundantly, so richly, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing of the Holy Ghost is what he is talking about there. Praise God. He poured it out. Joel's prophecy in chapter 2, where the Lord would twice declare, I will pour out my spirit, was what Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost fell on the 120 who were gathered in that upper room. The Holy Ghost being poured out. The Spirit of God being poured out. Praise God. Not a, what do you call that? Lottery. The lottery thing. Not the Mega Millions that somebody lost a ticket and they're bewailing the fact that they may have won. They may have been able to get the Mega Millions and so on. No, we're talking about something far greater than that. The power of his Spirit. The blessing of his Spirit. Praise God. The 120 in the upper room rejoicing in the Lord. Speaking in tongues. The power of God being displayed. And then 3,000 more. Praise God. Oh, the Lord doing a tremendous work. Water being poured into tanks and pools so that they could all be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh, how incredible the blessings of the Lord. Amen. But that's not the first time God poured out his blessings. That's not the first time that there has been a pouring out and God had done a tremendous thing. Think about the widow with two sons facing debt. And she was told to pour out oil from a pot in her house. Elisha told her to go and borrow a whole bunch of vessels and then to have that pot of oil pour into each one of them. And every one that she borrowed was filled up so that she could pay her debt and she could live on the rest, because God knows how to pour out his blessings. In that same chapter of 2 Kings chapter 4, a stew was made, a pottage was made. Somebody put in some vegetables that they weren't sure about, that they weren't aware of, and it was poisonous. But Elisha sprinkled some meal into it and told them to pour it out again. And they began to fill the bowls for all those who were around that needed to eat, and there was no harm. Thank God. Even before Joel's prophecy, in Joel chapter 2, Proverbs 1 and 23, the Lord declares, I will pour out my spirit upon you. Thank God for the promise of the Lord that he will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you that you won't even be able to contain it if you will be faithful in your giving. Our God knows how to pour it on. Our God knows how to pour it out. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blessings that he brings forth. The love of God is shed abroad, or poured forth and poured out to flood our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's our God. Amen. Psalm 63 and 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Praise God. Oh, what satisfaction the Lord is able to give. I like Isaiah 58:11. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Ooh, that sounds successful to me. That sounds powerful to me. Amen. The Lord being there to guide you continually, to satisfy your soul, to make fat thy bones. You'll be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, and those waters won't fail. Okay, we better get to the light. In thy light shall we see light. This is the year of the Apollo moon landings, the 50th anniversary of that. I like to tell people who were born after 1969 looking at a full moon, I like to say, you should have seen it before they walked on it. Remember that picture of the earth rise? They took a picture of the earth coming up over the horizon of the moon. We talk about moonrise, sunrise. This was the earth rise. Beautiful. The earth shining in the blackness of space. Just beautiful. God's creation. And those astronauts reading from Genesis 1 probably be fired and fined and everything else today if they read from Genesis 1. But oh, how our God created. And the space station that's orbiting out there now, the pictures at night of the Earth in the metropolitan area is so lit up. And you could see it, London and Paris. And, you can identify those cities because they're lit up so bright, so much light anymore. Light pollution makes it difficult to see the night sky in so many places. Never has there been so much artificial light and so little spiritual illumination. People not paying attention. But in thy light, Lord, we're going to see light. The Lord who said, let there be light. And light was divided from darkness, both in the physical realm and in the spiritual realm. Amen. And we're delivered, thank God, delivered from the power of darkness. Colossians 1 and 13. He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered and translated, transplanted and reestablished. And it's not just any old kingdom. It's the kingdom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's where you are. That's what you step into. That's the blessing that you have. when the Lord delivers you from darkness. Amen. Now, we wrestle against darkness, Ephesians 6. That's why we've got to have all of the armor that the Lord has provided. We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're in a battle with evil princes of darkness. But thank God there's victory. Thank God there's power, because light defeats darkness. John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. The light of life. If I follow him, I shall see light. In his light, we shall see light. Praise God. And I want to remain in him and know his power and his blessing. Praise God. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that power and that blessing in the Lord. And then what we can obtain in him and know his goodness is so much. And he delivers us from the darkness of sin. He told us to pray, deliver us from evil. He wouldn't have put that in his prayer if that was an impossibility, if that was something beyond the realm of what could actually happen. But no, he said, pray, deliver us from evil. And he does. Praise God. Delivers us from negative habits and patterns that can be broken. The devil lies when he says you can't change. The devil lies when he says, oh, that habit is there for the rest of your life. That pattern is established in your life. You're not going to change. He's a liar. Because God delivers us from evil. He delivers us from oppression. He delivers us from depression, because in his light, we will see light. Hallelujah. The devil is the one who is bound in darkness. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Peter wrote that in his second letter, chapter 2 and verse 4. Jude took it up as well and mentioned the sinning angels who are reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. That's not my destiny. That's not my destination, nor is it yours. Thank God. In his light, we shall see light. Hallelujah. Because of the power that God has made known. Peter, James, and John up on that mountain, and they see Moses, Elijah, and Jesus shining in his glory, Jesus shining in his light. They heard him say, I'm going to be risen from the dead. They wondered, what did that mean? But it would become a powerful reality for them, because the resurrection is a powerful light in the darkness that the devil tries to bring upon every one of us. And oh, thank God for the power of the Lord. John would write of him in Revelation. John, many years since being on that mountain with the Lord. Now he is on an island in the Mediterranean. All the worst criminals of the empire are there working in that salt mine. John has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos as well, but he sees the Lord. He sees the Lord. And oh, all the aspects of light that are there. He sees the Lord in the midst of candlesticks. His countenance is bright and white as wool and snow. His feet are like a furnace. He's holding seven stars, and his countenance is as the sun shineth in his strength. All the aspects of light that illuminated the darkness that John was in. He's 90 years old by this time. That's not the retirement that he was looking for, probably. But God brought light to him. Amen. And he wrote Revelation 21:23. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb, his blood, his name. Praise God. His victory. Light shining. Praise God. Oh, that revelation of heaven. Revelation 22:5. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's where we're going. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil turn me aside. I'm not going to let the... How could darkness be attractive anyway? I'm not going to go in that direction. I'm continue in light. Praise God. For in his light, we shall see light. And it's going to be forever. Oh, hallelujah. Stand with me now, please. What a day that shall be. What a day. And that's eternal day. A day that goes on forever and ever. Praise God. And all of the scary things that go bump in the night. All of the visitations of the devil that he tries to come and disturb you and rob you of sleep and take a rest away from you and all of that junk that he tries to trot out and condemn you. Thank God it's going to be an eternal day without a night in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Let's come and pray now today. Praise God. All that the Lord would bless us with, all that he would pour out and pile on in terms of the blessings that he makes known, abundantly satisfied, the fatness of his house, the rivers of pleasures that we can drink from, the fountain of life that he opens up for us. Praise God. And in his light shall we see light. Let there be a determination that rises up within you and says, I'm gonna make it there. I'm not gonna ignore it. I'm not gonna go another direction. I'm not going to stop walking in the light that the Lord has provided for me. I'm gonna continue in him. Praise God. It's gonna be a fantastic day to be in his presence. A fantastic day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing it together. What a day that shall be when my Jesus I shall see. Glory to God. What a day.